Everyone has their own unique views and needs when it comes to financial success. If you'd like to leave your financial woes behind and live a life of financial freedom, you've come to the right place. Welcome to the Saving with Steve Show, hosted by Steve Sexton. The show will help you with the ins and outs of money. We talk about financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars and keeping you up at night. We talk about money, tax reduction, saving more, spending less, 401ks, risk management, retirement, and everything under the sun that relates to you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. Now, here is your host of Saving with Steve, Steve Sexton.
Hello, welcome to the Saving with Steve Show, where we talk about the ins and outs of money. Pretty much everything under the sun relates to you having a happier, healthier relationship with money. My name is Steve Sexton. I do want to thank you for joining us. We have a very special topic and a very special guest, because this is a topic that you've been writing in for a while. You know what? Debt, it has an emotional impact on people, especially in this current economic climate, and it's become more and more significant, and people are feeling more and more of the pressure. So how do we deal with it? How do we break free of that debt stigma, the shame, the embarrassment that goes along with it? With all that's going on today, you know, what are some good money management practices you should be putting in place to make good financial decisions moving forward? And then, you know what? At the end of the day, sometimes people just really need help. And what are those options? And that's the reason why we have Natalia Brown here. She is the Chief Compliance and Consumer Affairs Office. She focuses on representing and advocating for their clients by ensuring the national debt relief upholds and follows best-in-class practices. Now, she served as the Chief Client Operations Officer. She's played vital roles for the last 14 years in that organization. She's passionate about helping people in the financial literacy and educated needed to achieve financial freedom, most importantly, peace of mind by getting and staying out of debt. That's big. Now, you know what? She's done a lot of things for Women of New York. She's on the Common Bonds. It's an industry organization. She's on advisory council for the American College of Financial Services, which is gigantic. She's an educator. And you know what? You can just tell by looking at her. She's a very nice person. She's got that high smile. So everybody likes her. So, but first of all, I want to say, Natalie, welcome to the show. We appreciate you being here.
Thank you so much for having me. Just call me Nat.
Okay, we're going to call you Nat. So Nat, let's talk about this first. You're obviously a very successful woman. What got you working for in the debt relief?
In the space? It really was the organization that got me in the space. You know, sometimes things start up as a job, and this actually turned into a career that I kind of learned to love because of all the good that the organization was doing from a genuine place. Ownership has been in debt, has, you know, dealt with the struggles and the stigma around debt. And they're very, 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 it's very important to them to make sure that our culture really is around helping people. It just resonates with me personally, because that's just something that I like to do in my professional and personal life. And that's why I got into debt relief, because, you know, it's a huge problem across the nation. And I think having advocates for people is hugely important. And I want to be the person that, you know, kind of helps make the change.
And you know what, you've been there 12 years, so 14 years, but you were the 12th employee.
Yes. Almost from the very beginning.
So when you started, what did you actually do?
When I started, there weren't multiple departments. It was kind of a really, really small startup. It was a small shop. So basically, I did everything. We just kind of had something we called like front office, which was enrollment, and then everything else. So anything from HR to negotiating, speaking to clients. Eventually, as we got bigger, we, of course, you know, got separate departments for things, but I got exposed to pretty much everything.
Well, that's wonderful. So, you know, the ins and outs and what people go through, how they might come into your office and they look down because they're embarrassed and shame and all that because of the debt they're in, and they actually need help and you're there to help. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm responsible for writing a lot of the workflows and policies for sure.
Okay, good. Okay. So Let's start with this first part about discussing the emotional impact of debt, especially in our current economic climate, because, people, you go back a couple of years, maybe 3 years, and before all the inflation started coming into place, and people are, doing fine, interest rates aren't too bad, and then you have interest rates start popping up. Credit card companies are saying, okay, hold on, we're going to slow down on this credit so you can't get much more. And now people are tapped, you know what? And they're looking around going, hey, what do I do? I can't do the things I did in life. And talk about some of that, emotional impact of having too much debt.
Oh, it's hugely impactful. It's stressful for the most part. And there's, like you already mentioned, there's a huge amount of shame. It's not something that people like to talk about. Especially when the idea is that you're just irresponsible and that's why you've gotten to the place that you are, which is hugely untrue. It can happen to anyone, high income, low income, it really doesn't matter. We did a survey around the hidden cost of debt where we found that, people are losing 200 hours of sleep, people are getting into divorces. People's credit is impacted because of what you said, where their ability to obtain credit is a lot more difficult. So there's just the current climate that we're in as well, where there's tariffs, it's uncertainty of what things are going to cost. You have the inflation, you have everyday living. It's kind of, just surviving day to day.
Yeah, I remember talking with a couple many years ago. And, the first thing I always ask as a planner is that you look at, hey, what are you spending money on? And you know what? It was really interesting to see what they're spending money on, but more importantly, who was driving what car? Because he had the big truck that got 12 miles to the gallon and she had the Prius, but she drove 10 miles a day and he drove 100. So, just by switching, that was like a $400 savings a month in gas. But, people don't look at that. And when their interest rates went up on their credit card, it really made a big difference in what they could spend for the rest of their family because they had to cut things back. Mm-hmm. And that squeeze and that pressure that keeps going there, I see a lot of people are feeling that. So, what are the key signs to start, when should somebody start asking for help?
That's a great question, because sometimes people don't know that they need help because they're surviving every month. But if you're in that pattern where you're only paying your minimums, where you're starting to use credit to pay off other credit cards or other debts, when you're really starting to look at prices a little bit closely, or kind of putting less gas in the tank so that you can save until that next check, when you're literally living check to check, not saving anything, when you're feeling your anxiety levels come up, when that credit card bill comes in, those are all signs that taking a look at spending and where you are as far as debt goes, that's the time when you're already and hopefully wanting to resolve that stress.
That's wonderful. Nat, I think it's really important for people to, if you could, break down the debt stigma. And then you go into the shame and how to look at it from a positive perspective. I know it's a process. And, could you also give us examples of people that you've worked with or your team's worked with and how that's made a difference in their lives?
Oh, of course. I actually have a really recent story. I spoke to a prospective client myself today. And it was the whole first part of that conversation really was around their shame, not wanting to go to their family and talk about it because of that embarrassment, because perceivably what they see is everyone else has it together. They don't know for sure, but the idea is everyone else is has it together. I don't want to be the person that, the black sheep of the family that can't figure it out. Their situation was very legitimate. They work in an industry where consistent paychecks is just not something that is going to happen in the industry that they're in. And they fell behind because they lost their 9-to-5 steady job. And they've been on unemployment for a little while. They have almost $53,000 in debt and they were beating themselves up. So I think it's hugely important, and same thing I told that person was to give yourself some grace. Life happens, things will happen. It's important, and the most important thing is to take that first step. Once you feel like you have a plan, once you feel like you can speak to someone about what your options are, and you see the finish line, the way you feel and all that stress, it actually really does go away. It does not need to be a secret. You just need to find the safe places to have those conversations. And we really, really make sure that we, as a team at National Debt Relief, we make sure we create safe spaces to have these conversations. Whether someone enrolls with us or not, it's sometimes just good to talk about what the options are.
So here's a question, and then many of our viewers have asked this. You know what, there's always something where, and I call it the ostrich effect, where they just stick their head in the sand and don't answer any of the calls, don't talk to anybody. How can, you know what, answering those calls and at least telling somebody where you're at make a difference for you, way you're dealing with this? Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes total sense. It is really... your goals are have to outweigh the actions, right? The goal is to not feel that way anymore. And not doing anything is not going to change that circumstance. And being prepared and ready to kind of figure out what's next. You may not know. And I think that's what people kind of shy away from, is they have the stress. They know that they're kind of in trouble, but they are more worried about being judged or not having a safe space. So I think it's hugely important to put yourself first and take that first step. Their quality of life depends on it. Your survival depends on it. So I think it's hugely important to, you know, take a deep breath and figure out what those options are. Speak to a professional about what your challenges are and go from there. Again, it's just, the hardest part is making the first phone call. It's not the program. It's not the part of getting out of debt. The hardest part is just admitting that there's a problem and coming up with a solution for that problem.
You know, it's funny. I equate to getting in a debt and having all that pressure. It's like my wife, when she was in this Mothers of Preschoolers program, and she'd take the kids there, and one of the moms going, "My kid's been eating the crayons. He's going to be crazy." And the other goes, "Oh, don't worry. My kid does that too." The other one chimes in. It's almost like, okay, everybody else is going through this. So the big thing to understand is a lot of other people just like you. And it's important to understand other people are getting help. So can you. And one of the things you talked about, Nat, was just, hey, working with somebody to get some help, to understand how to deal with it, but also how to create a plan.
Yes, the plan is the most important. Once you have a roadmap, it's amazing how many people go, oh, I know which direction I'm going in now. There's less uncertainty because you know where you're going. And I love that crayon analogy because it's exactly true. It's why we have a community for the people that enroll in our program as well. It's so that they can speak to other people in that situation and realize they're not the only ones experiencing that same level of stress. They'll see that lots of people get into debt for reasons not within their control. And once you kind of see that there's community there, it really does help people become more successful.
Yeah, you know what? And it's really interesting is I know we see all the actors and actresses and you see all the Facebook and stuff like that. But there's many of those actors and actresses that don't have a clue and have spent themselves into some serious debt. And they got help to work themselves out of it. And so can you. Just that nobody likes to show that because nobody likes to know, hey, this is what I did.
Right. The keeping up of appearances. It's very true. And it's not just, you know, at different income levels. There's different generations. Almost every generation is dealing with this. We did a survey with boomers and trying to really figure out, you know, are they prepared for retirement? Are they concerned about their debt? We did it also with veterans specifically and figuring out if their debt was contributing to any mental health issues. And they reported that they believed that it was, right? So it impacts everyone in every demographic at every income level. Don't be fooled by what people are kind of posting on social. They're always posting the best out there. No one's really posting the worst of their life. So don't assume that they aren't in the same situation as the average consumer.
Yeah, I agree. Don't be trying to keep up with the people on social media.
Yes, it's please only don't.
Their, so to speak, best life. And their best life is basically an image that you see on a screen, which is never true.
Never true.
And the funny thing is, I've as a planner, I've had a number of people where their, you know, parents have said, you know, the kids come in and says, you know, I just found out because of having a new baby and they lost the insurance and all that stuff, they're hemorrhaging medical bill debt. And, you know, my son was super embarrassed until I told him, yeah, we went through the same thing. This is what we did. So get on it.
Right. 100% agree. Medical debt is one of those hidden factors that people don't always know what they're going to have as a cost, right? When you have an emergency, even when you have insurance, I think at least a lot of our clients don't realize that there's still a cost just because you have insurance and you might have a major procedure or even a minor one that may not be covered. And now you owe money. So I think medical debt for sure is something that I try to, you know, encourage people who don't have insurance to make sure they have it because it still helps. It's better than having none. And really understanding what your costs are whenever possible when you're getting treatment as well.
Okay. So, you know what, let's talk a little bit about your program at National Debt Relief. And then in the next segment, I would like to talk about, you know what, student loan debt. You know, we talked about medical debt. There's all different types of debt. And you know what, and then in the last segment, I'd like to talk about, you know what, you know, practical money management tips for families trying to make smart decisions. Is that good?
That sounds great.
Perfect. Okay. So let's talk a little bit. I know we got about 2 minutes left in this segment, but then we're going to continue on with what National Debt Relief does. So help our audience understand exactly what National Debt Relief does there, Nat.
So what we do is we help our consumers reduce the amount that they owe with their unsecured debt. Unsecured debt is typically credit card debt, personal loans, and medical debt. It starts with a free consultation. We always want to make sure our consumers have a clear understanding of what they're signing up for. So we're very transparent. We want to understand what the goals are. We would do a soft credit pull to kind of understand what that unsecured debt looks like. We do a budget analysis to really understand if this is the right option, if it's affordable or not for that particular person. If we mutually agree to move forward, there's contract signing. We like to read along with our consumers to make sure that they understand the contract because that can be very legally and people don't always understand what they're reading. So we actually walk them through it as well. Then that consumer opens up a savings account that's in their name that they own, and they start accumulating funds through deposits. And as those funds build up, we'll take those funds, approach a creditor, ask them to reduce the amount that they owe. Typically, it's around 55% on the dollar, which means, you know, if you owe $1,000, we'll ask the creditor if they'll accept $550 instead. At that point, if there's all an agreement, and the client agrees as well, that payment will go out to the creditor and that debt is gone. And then we'll work on the next one and the next one until there's no more unsecured debt.
That's wonderful. Folks, did you hear that? That's great. Look, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with more Saving with Steve and Nat Brown.
More expert advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve show.
Don't let your financial woes keep you up at night and prevent you from living a life of financial and personal freedom. Hi, I'm Steve Sexton, host of the Saving with Steve show. We're going to be talking about the ins and outs of money, those financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars, causing stress, keeping you up at night. We're going to talk about money, tax reductions, saving more, spending less, your investments, risk management, retirement, and everything associated with you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. So if you've ever dreamed of living a life of financial and personal freedom, you owe it to yourself and your family to tune into the Saving with Steve show. Join me, Steve Sexton, on the Saving with Steve show as we talk about everything under the sun when it comes to money. To learn more about the show, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us, savingwithsteve.us. We'll see you soon.
Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton.
Hey folks, welcome back to the Saving with Steve show, where we talk about the ins and outs of money, pretty much everything in the sun that relates to you having a happier, healthier relationship with money. We're talking to Nat Brown, we're talking about debt, we're talking about a bunch of different types of debt. Now, Nat just talked about how the National Debt Relief Program works. And you know what? Nat, before we move forward and I start asking a bunch of other questions, could you just share some stories about results that people have had with your services so people can understand, hey, this is, if, you know, I've got, for example, person with $53,000 worth of debt. Okay. Obviously, that's a lot to pay off. Yeah. So, you know what? What type of results would somebody expect from something like that?
They should expect about half of that debt to be resolved through a program if they choose to go through a debt relief program. So that $53,000 estimated would be settled for about $25,000. 20, can't do math in my head that fast, but we'll just round it down to $50,000. And we do have a fee for our services, but three things always have to happen. We believe in being performance-based, right? So that means we don't collect any fees until we actually do the work, which is a good security blanket for our consumers. So we have to get an offer. We have to present that offer to the client and they have to approve that offer. And then they have to make a payment towards that settlement. And at that point, a fee would be due. So we build that into their monthly deposit as well. So that's what they should expect. Anywhere between 2 to 4 years is typically how long it takes our clients to get out of debt. And that's really variable based on what they can afford every month. Because again, we go through that budget. So if they can afford a certain amount, we'll try to work with them to figure out how long their terms need to be.
Okay. First of all, I want to thank you for sharing that and the detail that you've done, because there's a number of our viewers and listeners were asking how it works. What is realistic? Because some people always have those preconceived ideas about they can get it all wiped out through that. And that's not true.
No, so no wiping out.
So, okay. So let's talk a little bit about the different types of debt. So for example, credit card debt, non-secure debt, that's something that could be negotiated if you're having payment problems.
That's correct.
Okay. And then you said medical debt, same type of situation.
Yes. Same type of situation. We would treat them just like credit card debt. There's some personal loans or what we call signature loans where there's no asset attached to that loan that can also be put into a debt settlement program.
Okay. So what if somebody's got a car loan?
So car loans are interesting because if you are in possession of the car and there's a car loan, that is considered a secured debt. That's not something that we would enroll in the program. However, if that car is for whatever reason repossessed and sold at auction, but you still owe, let's say the auction sale does not cover the loan cost, there's still going to be a balance that you owe. That can actually be enrolled into our program because it's no longer a secured debt. It's just the difference between that repossession.
Okay. So what if somebody has a equity line on their house? Is that something?
It would be considered a secure debt because the house is the asset and we don't touch any secure debts like homes or, you know, current vehicles because you could potentially lose that home. And that's not a position that we're going to put our consumers in. And so it's not eligible for our program.
Okay. So let's also talk about student loan debt. Now, my understanding is there's two different types of student loan debt. One, it's the federal government program, the FAFSA type programs. And then you have the one where people take their student loan debt and give it over to a private company that takes care of that student loan debt. So let's talk about the one that everybody applies through FAFSA and all that stuff. Is that something that can be negotiated?
No, unfortunately. So federal student loans are not eligible for our program. However, we do have a third party that we work with that we put our consumers in touch with to figure out if they qualify for any of the government-sponsored programs. So sometimes there's income-based repayment. There's lots of other things. National Debt Relief doesn't necessarily do that, but we do understand it's a concern for a lot of people. So we make sure we put them in touch with a trusted third party to kind of talk through what those options are. For the other student loans, we would consider them signature loans. So there are options where you can, it's very similar to a personal loan, but it's technically for school. Those we can enroll in a program. So when it's a private lender and it's just a signature loan, not backed by the federal government, that can be added to the program.
Okay. So, and like you said, when it comes to mortgages, there's not really any negotiations there. They have to go deal with forbearance or short sale and all that kind of stuff.
That is correct.
Because it's an asset. So yes. What you're saying is anything that has an asset base to it, whether a car, house, anything like that, there's not much you can do with it. It's just unsecured debt.
That is correct. Yes.
Okay. And now here's another question. Obviously, you're negotiating with somebody. Okay. Mm-hmm. Somebody's already in trouble with their debt, so their credit rating's going down. So how does this, when you're going through this, how does it affect your credit rating? Is it still going down further? And then when it's all settled, it goes back up? How does that work?
So I want to just say we're not a credit repair organization, but there is a natural impact to credit when you're in a debt settlement program. Mm-hmm. Part of what we do requires clients to make the decision to be delinquent on their accounts. A creditor is not ready to settle with someone who is current, right? Their goal is to make more money off of the interest that they're charging. So they are going to wait until they feel like they should settle, if that makes sense. So when you are delinquent on accounts, credit does go down. There is a negative credit impact. As accounts get settled, there's also a natural kind of recovery. And it does depend on what the outside, what a person is doing outside of our program. If they're opening up new debt, if they are not paying on their mortgage, that's going to have a negative impact outside the program. But let's just say they're taking care of everything. And the only thing that's changing in their credit profile is the settling of debt. They should see a natural recovery over time.
Okay. So, and then like, for example, just to give people an understanding, you know, obviously, if they miss one payment for 1 month, the creditor's not going to really care. They're just going to say, hey, where's the money? Or they might just send them a letter. Right. But how long is it usually the process for people saying, okay, you know what, I'm going to stop paying this and become delinquent? Is it 2, 3, 4 months? How many months is it usually?
Yeah, sure. So typically our clients see their first settlement within 4 to 6 months. A lot of our clients, sometimes they come in and they're already delinquent and they could be one of the lucky ones that see anywhere between 1 and 2 months after they make their first deposits if they're already in a delinquent status. Clients who are coming to us current, typically 4 to 6 months.
Okay. So basically what's happening is they're setting aside money to make the payments or to pay off things. Mm-hmm. And it might be 4 to 6 months before there, but the money's there to settle it.
That's correct.
Okay. All right. So that's one of the things that people want clarity on the process. Okay. So now if somebody said, hey, I want to get a hold of Nat at National Debt Relief, do they just go to the National Debt Relief website? How does that work?
I would love to speak to everyone, but I can't. It would be a fun time.
A little scary.
But in reality, yes. Just go to our website. There is a small form, and we have an entire team that is almost always available to reach out or schedule an appointment for our consumers or prospective consumers at the best time for them to speak. So it is just that easy. It's just, you know, your name, how much debt you think you have, and then someone will do a free consultation.
Okay. So here's some other questions. What's a soft pull on credit? That's actually 45 people asked that question.
I love that. I love that people are asking questions about this. It's really important to get that information out there. So a soft pull is something that is a pull of your credit report that does not actually end up being a negative impact to that credit report. Every time you apply for credit or for like a mortgage or something like that, it actually ends up having, you know, 1 to 2 or 3 point deduction from your credit score. It's different by different reporting agencies. So pulling a soft pull basically has no impact to credit score.
Okay. So, all right. So that's a good thing to know. And then if you were going to make some recommendations on the things to do to better a credit score, what would they be?
I can't talk about credit score very much because I don't have enough familiarity around credit score and credit reporting bureaus. But I can say generally, taking care of the debt is one way to absolutely get to that place where you can have credit improvement.
Okay, perfect. Folks, you need to stick with us. We'll be right back with more Nat Brown, and we'll see you in a moment.
More expert advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve Show.
Don't let your financial woes keep you up at night and prevent you from living a life of financial and personal freedom. Hi, I'm Steve Sexton, host of the Saving with Steve Show. We're going to be talking about the ins and outs of money, those financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars, causing stress, keeping you up at night. We're going to talk about money, tax reductions, saving more, spending less, your investments, risk management, retirement, and everything associated with you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. So if you've ever dreamed of living a life of financial and personal freedom, you owe it to yourself and your family to tune into the Saving with Steve Show. Join me, Steve Sexton, on the Saving with Steve Show as we talk about everything under the sun when it comes to money. To learn more about the show, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us, savingwithsteve.us. We'll see you soon.
Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve Show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton.
Hey, welcome back to the Saving with Steve Show, where we talk about the ins and outs of money, pretty much everything under the sun relates to you having a happier, healthier relationship with money. Hey, I would appreciate if you could check us out at YouTube, maybe sign up for our YouTube channel, but so you never miss a show, check out one of our affiliates at UK Health Radio, BBS Radio, Talk Radio New York City, E360 TV, Las Vegas TV Network. Again, all these networks are dedicated to empowering you to solve problems just like we're doing today, uplift your spirit, and live a life of personal and financial freedom. So, Nat, thanks for coming back on the show or being here for this last segment, which is kind of funny me saying that. But we'd like to kind of finish our last segment with practical money management tips for families trying to make, you know, smart financial decisions under pressure, especially during these times. So what would your best advice be for those people?
Well, I'm a mom and I've been there. So I have two boys and, you know, I definitely had to live paycheck to paycheck at certain points in my life. So sometimes you have to get creative, and I'm sure there's moms out there that know exactly what I'm talking about when it comes to being creative and stretching meals and getting the discount cereal versus the name brand cereal and having your kids not understand why. So one of the things that I really, really, really stress is if there is a possibility to pay yourself first, do that. Creating an emergency fund for those things that you are never going to know is going to happen, even if it's just $250, is really important. And I understand that that might not be possible for everyone at that point. But if it is possible, that is extremely important. One of the first things that I learned to do was make sure that there was an emergency fund. If a tire blew, I had the money for the tire, or at least to repair that leak if I needed to, and I didn't have to use a credit card. Another thing that I truly believe in is everyone is talented. I think everyone is special. Everyone has the ability to create income for themselves. Sometimes it's looking for a better job. Sometimes it's taking on a second job, or it is leveraging what you already do well. If you have a hobby that you can monetize, it is just do it, right? You have Etsy, you have all of these platforms out there where you can bring in an extra $100 a month if you need to. And if you were really successful, you can bring in way more. So really supplementing your income for those shortfalls. The other thing is be honest about the budget. So really, I don't believe in starvation budgets because they're not sustainable. You just end up being a miserable person. So I do realistic budgets. If you love coffee, don't stop coffee, but maybe make it at home, right? So do those trade-offs where you can lower your costs without being miserable. And just being really honest about where you're spending your money is hugely important. Really understand the difference between needs and wants. I know we want to keep up with the Joneses, and I know we want to go on the vacations or go out to dinner, But the reality is, while you're taking care of debt, you have to be realistic about what you can and cannot do, and prioritize the things that are truly important to you. So me, I'm a coffee person. I'm never going to stop drinking coffee. So I prioritize. That was my treat to self during those times. But I wouldn't necessarily go out to dinner with my friends, but I would say, hey, do you want to go to the park and let's, you know, make some food, have a little potluck. I'm still spending time with friends. I'm still out and about. I'm still socializing, but I'm not spending a whole bunch of money. There's always a trade-off. So I think it's hugely important to figure out where your trade-offs are, figure out what you can leverage, and don't be afraid to leave that job for a better job. I think a lot of people have some loyalty to organizations that maybe they shouldn't have, right? Ask for the raise. If they don't give you the raise, find the job that will.
That's wonderful. Yeah, I think it's really cool from some of the things you've said, and I was thinking about them. We used to, when we were younger and still grinding through things, mm-hmm. we had a gourmet group. It was about 10 families, and we just had a theme night, and everybody brought a portion of the meal and their whatever to drink. So it was next to nothing. And, you know, having a park party is not a bad thing because you have all your friends there. And if you have young kids, they don't know. So it's very, 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 very cool. And one of the things that, how to put it? The mom's trips to Kohl's, Marshall's, and all those places for looking for that one little item that might be 60 or 70% off makes all the difference in the world.
Yeah, so, the hunt becomes fun, right? When you find something on steep discount, you get the same thrill as if you bought it full price, but like, but you didn't. So yeah, that's another tip is, you know, never pay full price for anything. Always negotiate if you can.
Oh yeah. No. My wife says it was on sale and we really, really needed it.
That's the best way.
Oh no, I think it's great. And there's nothing wrong with going to all the eat buffet places. Mm-hmm. It's still dinner out. There's a few places, what is it called? If you're, you know what, looking to travel on a budget, there's a wonderful book called Plan Your Escape. It's about how to travel the world on less what it costs to live at home. And it gives you practical tips on finding trips, cruises, all that kind of stuff for low cost, not cheap, not staying at the Motel 6 of the place, but low cost. So for example, you know, if you go to Hawaii, there's, you know, most Westins are $700-$800 a night. Mm-hmm. But you know what? There's things that are timeshares where people just want to get the annual fees covered. So you might pay $150 a night and you'll get all the amenities of the hotel for a fraction of the cost. There's things like that, and you know, that people can do to save and do all that stuff. But I think it's really cool that you're sharing those practical tips with everybody.
So you said that, you just reminded me of one more thing. And I joke about this all the time is when we're buying something like on Amazon, we will look at those reviews all day long to figure out if we should buy the thing. Make sure you look at all of the reviews, right? For everything. Make sure you do that same level of research on the price, right? It's not just about, is the thing good, but make sure you're shopping around for a better price. And I just love that you gave that example because you could pay the $700 for the same room or you could pay $150. It just takes a little bit more effort to go find that deal.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. You know what? And there's, what is it? There's a website you can go to and I forget what it is. And we have it on our website for one of our other guests that was here about travel. And she says, you know what? It's the mispriced website for air travel.
Yeah.
So for example, if an airline says, you know, your regular price is $500, but they mess up and advertise it online for $120 because they messed up, they've got to give it to you at that price. Yep. And this website, all it does is just show those screw ups. So if you want to use it, you can.
Oh, that's wonderful. I'm going to write that one down.
Yeah. So yeah, that's the Adrian Berg episode. It was just wonderful. So I'll tell you what, I want to thank you so much for being here. Tell us a little bit more about National Debt Relief and how people can get a hold of you, Natalie. Natalia. Sorry.
No worries. We can be found at nationaldebtrelief.com. Just fill out a little bit of form, or you can give us a phone call. It's also on the website. Don't remember it off the top of my head, but it is at nationaldebtrelief.com. Super easy and simple.
Appreciate you being here. Nat, I hope you have a wonderful day. And thank you so much for imparting the wisdom that you've done today. It'll make a big difference with all the people who are listening.
I really do appreciate you having me. Thank you.
And you know what? We might have you back for another segment if that's okay.
Because
sometimes we do panel stuff, and I'd love to have you back for one of those.
Great. I'd be happy to.
All right. Hey, thanks so much for being with us, folks. Stick with us. We'll be right back with more Saving with Steve.
More expert advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve show.
Don't let your financial woes keep you up at night and prevent you from living a life of financial and personal freedom. Hi, I'm Steve Sexton, host of the Saving with Steve show. We're going to be talking about the ins and outs of money, those financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars, causing stress, keeping you up at night. We're going to talk about money, tax reductions, saving more, spending less, your investments, risk management, retirement, and everything associated with you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. So if you've ever dreamed of living a life of financial and personal freedom, you owe it to yourself and your family to tune into the Saving with Steve show. Join me, Steve Sexton, on the Saving with Steve show as we talk about everything under the sun when it comes to money. To learn more about the show, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us, savingwithsteve.us. We'll see you soon.
Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton.
Welcome back to the Saving with Steve show, where we talk about the ins and outs of money, pretty much everything the sun relates to you having a happier, happier relationship with money. Folks, all the replayers are available at savingwithsteve.us. If you're enjoying the stories of helpful information and insight on Saving with Steve, I encourage you to subscribe to our YouTube channel so you never miss a show. Check out a few of our affiliates at UK Health Radio, BBS Radio, Talk Radio New York City, E360 TV, Las Vegas TV Network. All these networks are dedicated to empower you to solve problems, uplift your spirit, and live a life of personal financial freedom. You can also follow us on Facebook at the Saving with Steve Sexton Facebook page. Check out the Insiders Club, the whole shot. And you know what? We're back. Let's talk about geopolitical risk. They are taking front and center stage, as we all know, by the events in the Middle East with Iran, Israel. We are seeing stocks drop, gold and oil rally. The U.S. dollar initially dropped and is barely rallying. The last one here is quite interesting. The U.S. dollar. For decades, the U.S. dollar has been considered a safe haven asset, which capitalists flock to in times of global turmoil. During 9/11, it jumped 2% when Russia invaded Ukraine. It jumped in similar amounts. The dollar is not doing that this time. This is a major tell from the financial system. We are in a new currency regime. One thing that will be defined by the U.S. dollar weakness, even in times of geopolitical stress, what will also be interesting going forward is to look at bond yields to see how much of the move is an anticipation of inflation and how much is a flight to safe haven. The nature of these events is clearly something that could fuel stagflation. Folks, now is the time to make intelligent decisions to clear a path to continued growth through safety. You have a choice to whether or not you want to continue to participate in this economic roller coaster. This uncertainty, volatility will continue to dominate the landscape for the foreseeable future. There's never been a better time to do what we're doing, and we're halfway through the year. It's halftime. When you go to sports, what do teams go at halftime? If they're not doing well, it's not going on the right path. They make simple, small, intelligent adjustments to secure the win. We're halfway through the year, folks. This is the time to make simple, small, intelligent adjustments to secure your financial well-being, especially with all this uncertainty and volatility. I mean, it's almost like a whiplash economy. So folks, I want to thank you all for joining us today on Saving with Steve. I hope you have a wonderful week. Look forward to speaking with you next time right here on Saving with Steve.
Thank you for joining us for the Saving with Steve show, hosted by Steve Sexton. To learn more about the show and how to become a guest or sponsor, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us. Join us again next time as we continue to talk about everything under the sun that relates to you having a healthier, happier relationship with money. This has been the Saving with Steve show, hosted by Steve Sexton.